the Thursday edition of Down to Brass Tacks, 434-1790. You can send a WhatsApp message to 266-4862, or you can send an email to brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net. John Stout, the technical operator producer, and Dennis Johnson, your host. We go until 2 this afternoon. Message said there's a burst pipe in Shop Hill Terrace, St. Thomas, that has been wasting water for some weeks. It's an area with scheduled shutoffs every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so it's frustrating to see water being wasted in this manner. Calls the department have brought no results. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
Yes, sir.
I have a couple of points here to make. I don't know how long. Everybody.
Well,
now, tell me something.
Let's start.
Yeah, the lady that spoke to you about the employment, what I call the government appointment.
Appointing your people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. About 20 years ago, I can remember well, when you are acting in a position for less than, I'm not quite sure if it was 3 years or 5 years, and appointments were being made, you usually get the appointment on the previous one that you had. So I don't know what is going on now, but I would think that if the civil service and the service commission and the PSs are still running the government workers, I think that is the way to go. So I don't think if she have less time than the what she requires to be having in the acting position, I don't think she would be disadvantaged. She would still be appointed, or should be. I don't know what's going on now. She should be appointed at the previous employment she was before. So she would still be appointed. I don't know if that's what she's trying to say, or if that she was disadvantaged for some other reason.
I think she was just worried that the line said you had to be in physically in the position as at the 30th of September. And that she's not physically in that position at the 30th of September because she's off on a secondment somewhere else. I think that's the part of the provision that was worrying her, and that when she approached Personnel Administration Division, there seemed to be some confusion as well. That's what that's the short end of the discussion.
But as she was saying, I don't think she... If she's not qualified in the position for the time that it required,
she said it was she's been in for 10 years, so that wasn't the
problem.
Her problem was not being physically in that same position as of yesterday.
But therefore, she should be appointed at the one she was before. And I don't think that is a problem, because if she knows she's not. Have not put any time for the acting position to be appointed, then I don't think that should be a problem. It happened to me. So I don't think that should be a problem.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Right on.
Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
Yes, sir.
How are you doing, sir?
I think I'm doing all right until I hear otherwise.
I'm doing well, sir.
Mm-hmm.
As you will know, a will is not beneficial to the person unless the testator dies. But I'm going to talk to the people just now. But I want to first say a happy birthday to our Prime Minister, Mayor Motley. And I had always admired these two young people, both she and David Thompson, as they grew up in debates. I love to see them at school in debates. I love it. And to think that both of them, these two brilliant young men, a young man, a young woman, young lady, have become to hold the highest office of Barbados. And that is great for Barbados because they were so from school days.
Elected office.
Library. Pardon?
The highest elected office.
The highest elected office of Barbados. Although we don't seem to appreciate it because we continue digging down our leaders. I mean, every one of them who had somewhat acquired this position has been branded as no good. And I do not know why we do it. But I
politics.
Mean, yeah, I mean, politics. It's hearing throughout the world, you know, and brilliant people. And they are just torn down to the ground. It is, and then the birthday also of help me with his name,
Mr. Christopher Sinclair, the former minister of
right. Finance. I admire him because in 2018 he could bow to the IMF and throw us away. So I admire his integrity, and that is why I make good of his talk as well. I admire him as well for his integrity. I make me now go on to what I'm saying with Professor Arthur. If you look to the advocate of the 29th of January 2019, he warned us of the Burke program, and he had asked, anybody can read it, he had asked us to walk on water, and that he was looking for a mattress to put his money in. Obviously, this has not proven him right, because the COVID came and brought a new dimension. So we got something to blame for it. So we can prove that his words went clear, because we had something that came worse and offset exactly what he had said. So we got something to blame now for that. But he said we were walking on water. So much for that. I remember when Reverend Hatch was running this program, there was a man whose name was Marshall. They called him the Cement Man.
Astor Marshall, yes, sir.
Yeah, from Zion.
Employment Agency, yes, sir.
Enjoy Employment Agency. I know that well, because I won't give the joke here on the air. I will probably give you your ear concerning any joke I have with him. But I think he has a son. He is a professor now.
Correct.
But you will remember, there are two things each time he called Hatch he used to talk about. Bringing in bullfighting. All this money into tourism. He said if you bring in the bulls, but I will use the word bull cow. If you bring in the bull cows, the tourists will come to see them fighting and they'll run them down through Broad Street. And everybody was criticizing him for what he was saying. He called him the Cement Man because he was saying that we need to stop our cement plant from causing us to pay for cement four times as much as we can, that we burn it for, when we can import cement, go to St. Lucia and import it and sell it back here quarter the price that we were buying here locally. It push up all of the costs on building houses in Barbados. And neither one of the administration, neither DLP nor BLP, seek to correct this. As you know, a few years ago, I had to say now, a man by the name of Mark, I ain't say who Mark, because you all know who I'm talking about, he start importing. And you know,
You can call a Mark, you ain't gonna say who he is, because we all know who he is, and then you'll call somebody Mark Smart. So, you know, sometimes I sit here and listen to people who make these kinds of comments. No, sir, hold on, man.
Thank you very much.
It ain't get away, man. Come on. Go ahead. So I pull it up and, okay, let's move on.
Let me get my point. The only time, hello?
So I'm listening to you. Ain't going
no,
anywhere.
I'm saying, you know, of the town hall meetings, this is the point I'm going to get over. And that's why I use that. The point I'm getting over, that this cement has...
So it was not. So that, again, that's not the point. Look, you know...
What's the point?
Sorry. The owners of Rockhard Cement took the government of Barbados and the IROC cement plant to the Caribbean Court of Justice to get a declaration on what was hydraulic or non-hydraulic cement and whether or not they had the right to bring cement into Barbados, whether it was infringing on the rights of the IROC cement plant, and whether they were able to then use the tariffs that were available to them to make the cement available at the price that they were making it available. It was not about the change of government. It was because of a ruling by the Caribbean Court of Justice.
Okay, thank you for
and
that.
And even then, the IROC cement plant were not happy with the decision, but that was a decision of the court. Yes,
okay,
sir.
Okay, thanks for that. But I'm saying that neither one of the administration seek to correct it, although it was burdensome to this country.
When you say correct it, what do you mean?
It was because we were paying... You see how the price it came down after? Because we were paying four times as much for it as we could have brought in cement.
Because the government of Barbados does not regulate the price at which cement is sold. It is not a price-controlled item. The government of Barbados does not control the price of anything that I know of unless it is petroleum products. That's the only thing I know that is price-controlled by the government. The other things are quote-unquote free market.
But they had prevented it. There were agreement with Iraq that it should not come into Barbados. That we could not import from any other place.
Sir, because of tariffs attached to the importation of cement that was part of the agreement with the setting up of the plant. So unless that particular agreement was challenged in court, which it was, then the action could be taken. So you don't just break laws for breaking laws' sake, you know.
You know how long?
Yes, sir, I know how long.
You know how long it took this? It took Marshall since hatch time keeping noise about this cement that was burdening to us until this man Mark came and tried to do something. And we had people about here that could have done it ever since. You know how much burden we passed you with this cement? What it cost, the building cost in Barbados? Those are the facts that we look at. What it was detrimental to us in building in Barbados? What it cost the building price in Barbados? Another way I said, Mark, because he came, and as he came, then we were able to get it come out, and it came out right. That's all they want to get over about him.
Okay, sir.
But the protest went against him, and I'm sure the protest wasn't because of what you're saying. The protest went against him because it wasn't only our cement that was attacking it. And that's what I'm saying.
But sir, I know exactly, sir, I know exactly, you know, let me tell you this, okay?
Now you go back to Hatch and see how many years it took us.
Sir,
to get
sir,
this man
let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. Who was Father Hatch's producer?
Who was his producer?
Yeah, who produced?
I wouldn't know who.
So every single day, they say who the producer is.
But no, that's why I say I didn't know who was.
Okay. Well, I could tell you who Father Hatch's producer was. I was.
But you know how many years that was?
I've been sitting in this chair for 26 years.
Yeah, but 26. That's a monk of years that we didn't do from the time that came about that Marshall was saying.
I know the cement man very well. I know what he was saying. I know what he said it to. I know what he said to me. We had all kind of clashes on air and off air. So I do not. So let me say this to you. The reason why I'm smiling is this. I am listening to you, right? And through all of your pronouncements, I know what it is you're not saying. And I know you keep trying to pretend that you're not saying it or I don't know what you're saying, right? But every time you swing it around to make this comment about is not only the cement they were talking about, I know what the point you're trying to make. So I'm not as dumb as I appear to be. I like to let people talk themselves out. From the time you referred to one Mark as Mark without a name, a last name, and everybody know who he is, and we said the second one by why I pulled you up at, I heard it. So we were unfeared by the cost of cement in Barbados. It was raised by numerous people. People pointed out that you could go to St. Lucia and buy Arak cement plant, Arak cement at less than what it was being sold at in Barbados, and it was unfair. That it drove up the cost of building in Barbados? Yes, that's a point. Point well made. That when Mr. Maloney and Rock Hard Cement came to Barbados and challenged the Arak cement is a monopoly in Barbados, that there was pushback. Was some of the pushback because of cement? Yes. Was some of the pushback because of Mr. Maloney? Yes. Was some of the pushback because of politics? Yes. And when Mr. Maloney was on the program one day talking, I pointedly asked him if it was because he was seen as being a financier of a party. And he said on air, but we have financed both parties. We provide financing for campaigns. So he said so. So when I hear people making these innuendos and things, it doesn't make sense because the truth was spoken and it was spoken out loud. I believe in truth and fairness. I may not always be right. There are times when I get it wrong. But I like standing on firm ground. I thank you for your contribution. 434-1790. The number you call when you need to have a conversation with us on Down to Brass Tacks. You can send a message to 266-4862. That's our WhatsApp number. We can send an email to brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net. John Stout, our technical operator producer, and the lines go blank. You can call him and he'll put you through to the voice you're hearing. I'm Dennis Johnson, your host. We go until 2 o'clock this afternoon. I got a message during the course of the morning from someone who's connected to the University of the West Indies in another way. And they gave me a rather long and interesting explanation on the whole question of research and development, why it is a challenge for small universities like our University of the West Indies here, and that the interest in research and development is usually funded by the private sector and in collaboration with. It's a rather interesting one, and I asked the person if they could have that kind of conversation with me. Unfortunately, they had a previous appointment that's far more important, and they promised that, you know, when the political discussions become overbearing, perhaps they'll be able to get an opportunity to have that discussion. I hope we do, because as I said to them, I would like to dispel the notion that one, our university is just a place where those who want to obtain degrees so that they could get promotions in the public sector will go and get it, or where, you know, people who don't have employment could go on taxpayers' expense, as they say, and sit down there and do 5 degrees and all sorts of things, and those kinds of statements, so that they don't understand what happens, what doesn't happen, why it happens, and why it doesn't happen. It was, as I said, it was a very interesting piece that they sent me, and I would like to have that opportunity to have you hear it, because I think it's important that we have an open discussion and that we understand what is happening out there. Brass Tacks, good afternoon. Thank you for holding.
Blessed good afternoon, Mr. Dennis Johnson. How do you do?
Until I'm told otherwise, I say I'm doing good.
Well, good. My name is the Dr. Agriculture, and I want to say a happy, happy birthday to the Honorable Prime Minister of Barbados. She celebrates her birthday today, and I wish her all good health and the prosperity may come her way as she runs this country under some challenging times. How are you doing, Mr. J?
I just told you I'm all right.
Very
you
good.
Okay?
I am blessed. I am blessed.
Good.
We plow the fields and scatter the good seed on the land, but it is fed and watered by God's almighty hand. He sends the snow in winter, the warmth to swell the grain, the breezes and the sunshine, and soft refreshing rain. All good gifts around us are sent from heaven above, so thank the Lord for all his love. Now, Mr. J, I just want to say to the John public listening that if COVID-19 has not taught Barbadians something, they will never learn. And as you know, because I heard you say that you have been sitting in that chair for well over 26 years.
October this month will be 26 years.
And I know that is a fact, because you know that I have been on this program for a very, very long time. I have gone through all the moderators, most probably, that sat in that chair with you. And I have been the one person that have been speaking on agriculture for as long as I can remember. But I understand and see now that the persons, because of COVID, because of the strict stipulations, people lost the jobs, etc., people are now understanding the importance of agriculture and food security. But and you know that me and you had a lot of debates. Sometimes we went down the road good, sometimes we fall out. And as you said, earlier, you don't like people to mislead, you deal with facts. You're not always going to get it right, but you do your research, you do some homework, and you'll come back to bat again. But Johnson, I want to say to Barbadians, try and plant something. You don't have to have 2 acres, Mr. J. You don't have to have a tractor. You don't have to have all of these things to grow something. If you want to grow, you can get cans, you can cut cans, you can get tires, rather than you see tires there just sitting down, catching water to breed mosquitoes. You can get even the 2-liter pet bottles, Mr. Johnson, and you cut them on the sword side, which means that will be flat, put some holes in them, and mold is one of the easiest things to get, Mr. J. So I just want to say, yes, Barbados is very, very hard right now, and I personally believe if not for COVID-19, we would be in a far better position that we're in now. And I know that we are not happy with a lot of things that are going on, but we had a government before that was in far better conditions and far better times than this present government, and they did a lot of foolishness and a lot of bad things to the general public. And yes, they're crawl, but I still find that some of the people are very one-sided, and they are very callous-minded and ungrateful to the powers that be. I'm not saying that every single politician would do things that you are happy with, and everybody know which side of the fence I belong. They will say some things that I am partisan, but sometimes you've got to set aside partisan politics and deal with people. Because Dennis Johnson, I can tell you, people that had to send back to school children, people had it rough to get food. And I will tell you the truth, I help a lot of people, because you know why? When I was down and out, people helped me. And I know, Johnson, people help you as well. So we have to be sometimes, it is not easy, because sometimes you could do good for somebody and you save their life, and then they will side with the enemy to castigate you, as you know, Mr. So it is not easy.
Sometimes I say things, and then there are times I repeat things.
Yes.
And then there are times I think people don't hear what I say, so I repeat it again. Speaking on this program, the last time I was on, I made a comment twice. I spoke of an old lady. Now, whether it's a real old lady or whether I created the old lady is neither here nor there.
Right.
But what I was pointing out was this. There is an old lady who doesn't work anyway. She's a pensioner. When she gets a pension, she pays her bills.
Right.
Light bill, water bill, whatever. She raises a few chickens, perhaps sometimes she raises a pig.
Right.
On Saturdays, she goes into town, whether she got money or not. Sometimes you ask her why she's going into town, if she ain't got money, but she's going to town. She catches the bus, and she don't have to pay the bus because she is over age of not paying the bus.
Right.
But if you catch her at 1 o'clock going back home, she got more bags than if you went into Massey and spent $1,000. She got a little pumpkin. She got some tomatoes. She got some cucumbers.
Right.
She got some celery and thyme.
Correct.
If peas in season, she got a little peas.
Right.
Because she got people.
Exactly.
And that's the point I was trying to make, that we have moved away. So when people talk about poor people suffering, sometimes they ain't talking about the poor people, you know. They're talking about people they know that are suffering, and they're calling them poor.
Yes.
Because there are some people who would qualify as being poor because they have no means of income but their pension.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not really poor because they have people who look out for them because they've looked out for people. When they got eggs, they share the egg. When the pig get cut, they give somebody a cut of pork.
Yeah.
Whether they could pay this week or this month or not, they ain't bother with that because that is their people.
Exactly.
The problem, sir, is this. And this is why I wanted to get to you on this question of telling people to plant.
Right.
If you don't have people, if you're not accustomed to what I just told you about, that you keep saying right, and yes, if you don't know it that way, you don't know how to do what you're talking about. Because to you, okras are from the supermarket. Chicken is from the supermarket. They don't know how to do it. So when you tell people cut and contrive, they don't know what you mean, because that's not what they've been taught. That's not what they grew up in. To them, that was them people time. So they don't know about it. So when you talk about growing things, the first thing people say is for the two-legged monkeys to carry it away, meaning the thieves. You have complained about the real monkeys carrying it away, and people will complain about that too.
Correct. Right? And nobody do a thing about it.
Well, and you see, and this, so everybody tells you why you shouldn't do it.
Right.
As opposed to saying, this could go indoors, this could go outdoors, this could go in the patio, this could go in the garage, this is what you could. So rather than planting bougainvillea, here's what you could plant in that space. They don't, there are people who would tell you, and they would tell you honestly, they never pelt a mango from a tree yet.
That is a fact.
Good. They never cut a lime and squeeze it and make lime juice yet.
That is a fact.
Good. So if you tell somebody, man, grow a little dwarf golden apple so you could make golden apple juice, they're going to look at you blankly because they never had that neither. So the thrust of getting people to grow and eat what they grow has to be gradually reintroduced into the Barbadian society.
Yeah,
so that we have to start giving our young children, those who are going into nurseries, we got to get them accustomed to drinking golden apple juice as opposed to soft drinks. Yeah. We have to get them accustomed. It makes no sense saying too much sugar, take out the sugar, and this, that. It don't make sense to them. So rather than buying baby food, let's say, I keep hitting on this all the time, peaches this and pear this, and if you ever taste it, it don't taste like nothing. It don't taste like peach. It don't taste like pear. It don't taste like apple. It ain't taste like nothing.
Because
what we do is we put sugar in it so it could taste like something. And then we don't understand why children like sugar.
Yeah, because you, but Mr. Johnson, and I
rather than crush a banana, we buy banana in a bottle. But that ain't making sense.
And you have gone to this wicket and you have scored the fastest 100. In one day history you know that I rail and I don't really have time with people, because as I said before, you could do good now and the next 5 minutes people got a lot of bad things to say. I went through a lot of
I know.
I am just saying to you that the person I am now, I was not 20 years ago. I could tell you that.
Me neither.
But maturity makes you a better person. And sure. Mr. J, when you go through the hard pipe, I'm not saying that it's only my one that went through the hard pipe. A lot of people went through the hard pipe. Mm-hmm. I mean getting hard, because you say, no, this chair ready there. You get a lot of hard in your head.
I could say that again.
That's a natural figure of speech.
Yeah.
But Mr. J, and you know, I don't even worry what anybody have to say about me. Because the time I take to worry about what somebody think about me, that is not my problem. That is their problem. And sometimes you get vexed, you get angry, Mr. Johnson. But when you are a natural person and a loving person and a person who love people and interact with people and like to share and give, you just get your blessings overflowing, because I went through a lot of hardship already. I know what it is to go sleep hungry and get up hungry. So, I know what it is to have bills in the red and don't know where the first cent you're going to get to pay these bills. A lot of people living in denial, Mr. J. But God has given me this opportunity, and I have seen life a lot better now. Although we have gone through a COVID time and we have gone through hardship, I will not get on this phone and tell you that I am not in a suffering road. And I have been good to the people that helped me. And as you say, if I got a breadfruit, I share it. If I got sweet potatoes, I share it. If I got salt, I share it. If I drink in the drink and somebody want half, Mr. Johnson, and who knows me personally, could justify what I'm saying, I will give people who I think within my heart are less fortunate. And I find that we black people, and we always talk about Black Lives Matter, and about don't like the black people. 90% of the time, Mr. Johnson, I have no apologies for saying it, black people are their own demise.
because they come from the ghetto, they come from humble beginnings, and because that they have gone to greater echelons, they have forget the parents, the brothers, the sisters, because they're going to the heights and the terraces. They don't even come back and look, or even for a minute. I am not saying that nobody's going to take away from you. We appreciate what you have achieved. We appreciate where you get. But never, ever, ever forget which part you come from, Mr. J. And I know you understand where I'm coming. And a lot of people go up on a ladder forgetting that when their wings click to kick down the ladder, how they're going to get back down from a 10-story building unless they jump off.
The way I put it, sir, is that as you climb the ladder of success, be careful of the hands you trample on. They might have to catch you when you fall. Have a good afternoon, sir.